more talks and meditations, go to GloriaKGreen.com. Cultivating Equanimity. So today we're talking about cultivating equanimity. And Ella Wheeler Wilcox said, "'Tis easy enough to be pleasant when life flows along like a song, but the man worthwhile is the one who will smile when everything goes dead wrong." According to the Oxford English Dictionary, equanimity means calmness and composure, especially in a difficult situation. But that definition doesn't really capture the true essence of equanimity. Equanimity is a wisdom that protects our minds from discouragement and frustration when our lack of control is clear. It's being willing and able to accept things as they are in this moment, whether they're frustrating, boring, exciting, disappointing, or painful. It's the presence of mind that neither grasps or resists experience. And when we have equanimity, that keeps us from overreacting, thus allowing us to see the bigger picture. When I was first learning about equanimity, I thought of it as indifference and thought, oh, I don't want to do that. But equanimity is not being detached and unconcerned about other beings. That is indifference. Indifference is what I would call the near enemy of equanimity. It looks like equanimity, but it's not. True equanimity is neither cold nor indifferent. It doesn't mean not caring. The calmness of equanimity is not due to coldness of heart, but due to clarity of understanding. When we open our hearts, we can connect to all things, and that's as it should be. But we need to balance that connection with a clear recognition of the way things are. So we see what we genuinely cannot control, no matter how obsessed we might be with trying to. So we need connection, love, and kindness, but we also need the wisdom of equanimity to balance out. Equanimity doesn't mean you can't enjoy the pleasant, but it means not to be ruled by passions, desires, likes. So you can enjoy it, but you're not striving for it all the time. Equanimity is kind of the middle ground between being indifferent and overwhelmed. When things are too much, we can close down and stop caring. How many of us are turning off politics and the wars and so on because it's just getting to be too much? So, we are not indifferent. The other side of the continuum is being overwhelmed. And then we move into fight or flight. So if we're indifferent, we're kind of in freeze. We shut ourselves down. And if we're overwhelmed, we start in fight or flight, where we're lashing out at people in anger. And our prefrontal cortex is shutting down, because whenever we're very emotional, that's what happens. Our vision narrows, making us closed-minded. Anyone feel closed-minded about any of the things happening in the world today? I sure do. And we cling to our opinions and our beliefs so much that self-righteousness takes over. And I think that's part of the issue we have with this big divide. Everybody feels self-righteous, that they are right and the other guy is wrong and bad. And we set ourselves solidly either for or against policies and people. You know, we think that bipartisanship is a bad thing. That either you're on my, I'm, work for your side, or you're not any good. The other side is just bad. And that's what we're seeing in this world. We're all so overwhelmed by all that's going on that we're becoming self-righteous, and we're really clinging to our views and our policies and being right. If we can move to the middle ground, a calm comes from a clarity of understanding. When we open our hearts, we connect to all things. Just because someone believes something you don't believe doesn't make them a bad person. Doesn't mean you can't be still friendly with them. And we balance our need for connection with a recognition of the way things are. Some people are really self-righteous, and we really can't be with them because they're not accepting of who we are. So it's a balancing act. And that balancing act is really controlled by what we can control and what we can't control. We try to control lots of things in our life, especially the behavior of those around us. But we don't have control over that. So equanimity protects us from overreaction to both our joys and our sorrows. So rather than going up and down like this, with equanimity, we're going more like this. And if you think about how you felt in the sit at the start of this, you probably just felt content and good. We don't need that really high roller coaster feeling to feel good. We can just sit here and breathe and feel a sense of contentment, maybe even happiness, maybe even joy, just sitting with our breath. And that's what equanimity teaches us. And if the highs aren't so high, the lows don't have to be so low. And boy, that makes life so much easier to deal with. Equanimity is like the eye of the storm, the calm center that's grounded in the knowledge that everything is constantly changing and much of it's out of our control, according to Christiane Wolfe. But our wiring is not to be equanimous. We have that negativity bias built in. We're wired to react to unpleasantness by pushing it away, and to react to pleasantness by trying to hold on and grasp it. But the push-pull drama called the pursuit of happiness often doesn't lead to satisfaction. It leads us to more craving or more aversion. When you finally get what you want the next thing. Or if you don't like something, you push it away and you keep pushing things away. Because you need to push things away and you need to have things be exactly how you want them in order for you to be happy. And so you got to do a lot of pushing and a lot of pulling. And that doesn't always work. Equanimity helps us undo our errant thinking that I can only be happy if this happens. And how many times have you said that to yourself? I'll be happy when I get this job, when I get married, when I have kids, when I do this. And did that really result in happiness? So are we lying to ourselves, thinking our future self is going to be happy if we do this? But we don't know our future self very well, because our future self is like, maybe we practice gratitude for it, maybe we don't, but we move on for the next thing. So equanimity helps free us from that dichotomy of good and bad that will hound us forever. This is good, that is bad. And letting go of what should be is how we're going to realize contentment. We keep saying, well, it should be like, life should be like this, it should be like that. Life doesn't go as it should be. And we have to build and realize our contentment in spite of the fact that life isn't exactly how we want it. So to become more equanimous, I see there's three things that I've been trying to do. And the first is teasing out the facts from my stories. The second is resourcing myself, building my inner strengths. And then the third is learning to take skillful action. So let's start with teasing out the facts. If you become aware of the reality of an external experience and your internal reaction to that experience, you can tease out the facts from the stories. You might wake up in the morning feeling like you got up on the wrong side of the bed because something's going on. There's a story going on in your unconscious. If you make it conscious, you can look at that story and see what is fact and what did I make up. We can't change the facts of the past, but we can change the stories we tell ourselves about those facts. And we can explore how we can tell a more empowering story. So, for example, I've told you about my father. The fact is, my father said, "What's that bee doing there?" That's the fact. The story I added on was, "He doesn't think I'm good enough. I have to get straight A's to be good enough. I'm not enough." But I could have told a more empowering story, that he thinks I can do better. He's proud of me, but he thinks I can do better. So that's just a little one, and it's kind of easy to separate the fact from the story there. But many of us have had stories we've been telling ourselves over and over, and it gets hard to tease out what is fact and what is story. And we might need to stop and do it over and over again. We might let go of some of the story, but still have something that's a lot of fact and a little story until we can get rid of it. This morning I was teaching this in the prison, and one of the guys said, "Well, do we need someone else then to tell us what's fact and what's story?" You think? My answer was no, because then you're listening to their story. I mean, unless they're trained to understand how to tease these apart, they can ask you questions. But it's up to you to do it. And what I said is, you have the wisdom inside to know what's fact and what's story. And he looked at me like I had two heads. And I said, "Yes, that sounds unreal, but we all have that. We all have this inner goodness that we know what's right and what's wrong. We know what's fact and what's story, but we cover it up because we're comfortable with the stories, and maybe the facts are a little bit hurtful. And as Michael Singer says, it went in with pain, it's going to come out with pain, but pain doesn't last forever. So we want to explore what's fact and what's story so that we can step back and see the bigger picture. We want to turn off the flashlight on this problem where we're just seeing the problem, and we want to turn on the floodlight where we see what's going on around it. And that way we won't take everything so personally. Another question that came up was, "Well, don't you want to figure out how to change it?" And it's like, not yet. We first have to be with it, see what's fact and what's story, and then later our inner wisdom is going to tell us what we're going to do. So we have to ask, what are the facts? And then, do I have any influence or control to change what happened in the past? Do I have any influence or control to change what might happen in the future? And we know whether or not we do, but we sometimes lie to ourselves and tell ourselves we have more control than we do. And then we look at, what story am I adding to those facts? And is this story true? Is the story helpful? If it's not true or not helpful, what might be a more empowering story based on those same facts? And only when you've answered those questions can you look at what might a skillful response to this situation be. So our automatic reaction is when there's a problem, we want to fix it. But what we're doing here is really looking beneath the problem, because we're putting band-aids on, we're not getting to the root of the problem. And when we tease out the stories from the facts, we get more down to the root of the problem. The wisdom that we gain from teasing out the facts from the stories protects our minds from discouragement and frustration, especially when we see that we have a lack of control, because the facts tell us this is what's happened and you don't have any control over it. Jack Kornfield says, equanimity in its most basic understanding is all about letting go of what you may ask, of trying to control what cannot be controlled, including all the inevitable changes that are part of life. We try to control everything in our life and we don't want things to change. You know, we don't want our bodies to get old and achy. We don't want friends to go away or difficulties to happen. But everything is going to change. And that's why equanimity is so important, because equanimity does not mean never being knocked off kilter, because we're all going to be knocked off kilter by life at some point in time. It means being okay with that internal roller coaster and having a willingness to go along for the ride, rather than trying to push things away, hide them, sweep them under the carpet. But we need resources, our inner strengths, to grow that willingness. So practicing our loving kindness and self-compassion is really important. With equanimity, we're tossed about by the waves. Often, without equanimity, we're tossed about by the waves, often crashing into the circumstances of our lives. With equanimity, we're not trying to stop the waves, but we're learning to surf. We're not trying to push the waves away, we're learning to go with them. And we have to have a full tank in order to do that. You can't be skillful on an empty tank. You need to provide yourself with the motivation and the energy to respond skillfully when you get knocked off kilter. So whether this is spending time in nature, noticing what's good in the world, getting support from family and friends, or just thanking yourself for the growth that you've had from attending mindful moments. It might be talking with other people in the same situation. Some way you've got to fill yourself with the energy and the strength, because the balance of equanimity comes from your inner strength, from your stability. The strong presence of inner calm, well-being, and confidence can keep us upright, just like the ballast keeps a ship upright in strong winds. We need that calm center, that grounded center. And as inner strength develops, then equanimity will follow. We can remain centered when we're surrounded by turmoil. The balanced heart can feel pleasure without grasping onto it or clinging to it. And it can feel pain without condemning or hating it. Doesn't mean that you like it, but you're not at the extreme of hating. You can dislike it. And it stays open to neutral experiences. And when we stay open to neutral experiences, they usually become somewhat pleasant. So we need to resource ourselves. And then finally, we can take some skillful action. Once we're surfing, we can make choices. Our choice is not to get even, not to react quickly, not to lash out, not to punish, not to hurt, not to close our mind or our heart, but to determine what influence or control you have over the situation. And if you have none, maybe sitting with those feelings. And once we sit with those feelings, it becomes a little easier to let them go. So you don't have control over how someone treats you. They might treat you disrespectfully. They might tease you, call you fat or whatever. You have no control over that. But to take skillful action, you have to realize, I don't have any control. I can't change what they're doing. But I can change how I let it impact me. I can let them be in control of my emotions by letting them jerk me around, by teasing me and letting it upset me. Or I can say, you know what? Their suffering is spilling over and I don't have to let it impact me. I don't have to listen to it. And then figure out what's the most skillful way. Do I need to just be away from that person? Do I need to just laugh it off? What do I need to do? What can I do that's skillful? Because probably what you've been doing for the last however many years has not worked, or it wouldn't still be happening. And so what else can you try? What else can make it better? Because equanimity is really about the ability to see without being caught by what we see. We can see that this person is being disrespectful or mean because they're suffering. They're not being disrespectful or mean just because they're out to get me, which we often is what we automatically think. That calm presence is aware, it's open, and it's engaged, but it's not caught up in the experience of the moment. You're aware the person is being disrespectful and that you have no control over their actions, but you're not getting caught up and getting all upset about it and trying to defend yourself to them. And both of you are on the hamster wheel going 100 miles an hour. You're letting them be on the hamster wheel and you're standing on solid ground. Equanimity means engaging with the experience, but not reacting to our reactions with the experience. So with equanimity, we can have a heart that's ready for everything. No matter what happens in our life, we have the capacity to respond from a place of tenderness and inner freedom, if we can dig down and find that place. Equanimity frees us to cherish our life moment to moment. So we don't need great things to cherish our life. We can just cherish the ordinary moments. And in the moments, we're not fighting, judging, grasping, but just being. That's when we gain the best, the greatest wisdom, the deepest wisdom. We can create equilibrium in our body where we're not disturbed and we're not zoned out, to avoid being disturbed. Think about the sit we did today. Did we try to create equanimity, equilibrium in our body, where we're not disturbed, but we're not zoned out? Our brain was relaxed and calm, engaged and alert. And that's why we practice meditation, because it's our training to be more equanimous in our lives.